Well, as we mentioned, Dis-Chem reported their half-year profits up 10.5%. They say that all their divisions managed to increase market share. And my colleague Pranesh Naidu spoke to the CFO earlier.
Dis-Chem's interim results reflect a tale of two divisions. Its consumer-facing retail division, which accounts for more than 90% of revenue, posted a 9.8% increase in revenue to 9.6 billion rand. At the same time, its wholesale division grew revenue by 15.1% to 7.4 billion rand, but it incurred an operating loss of 46 million rand. Dis-Chem Chief Financial Officer Roy Moret joins us on the line with more. Roy, thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
Now let's start off with the retail division, whose results do appear solid amid the circumstances. Dis-Chem did note, though, that there were tough trading conditions and linked it to the increasing fuel prices and also that 1 percentage point increase in value-added taxes. To what extent has the strained consumer environment weighed on the business?
I think, as you've pointed out, the consumer is constrained. The fuel price increases, the VAT increases, certainly in what we deem a resilient space, being the retail pharmacy space, has resulted in lower volumes and smaller baskets, so indicative of a value-conscious consumer. And that's played out in our retail numbers. In terms of managing that, we look to ensure that we grow market shares because, you know, what's affecting us is affecting all industries in retail, and market share dominance and market share growth is obviously important as it affects some of the other metrics. And your ability to extract benefits from trade terms or supplies, etc. Our focus is to grow space, and then with space comes top-line growth and market share, and that will be the way we approach it.
Now, Dis-Chem's also said that its retail results were negatively impacted by a 1.26% increase in the single exit price that's prescribed by the Department of Health. Can you explain to us a bit about how this price works and also why it weighed on results?
So inherently, that is the price inflation in our dispensary category, which is close on 37% of our business. And if you think about just that as a concept of price inflation, I mean, it's difficult to counter cost inflation in that same space. So, you know, lease costs, the cost of pharmacists with volume growth and a small 1.26% price inflation. That price inflation is gazetted by the Department of Health. It's formulary driven, so it takes currency movements into account, takes CPI movements into account. But in an environment where you get such low price inflation, it places pressure on operating margins of that specific category. It also then obviously places pressure on top line growth. We do expect going forward to see slightly higher SEP price increases, which is obviously positive for the group. But very difficult circumstances in the dispensary category in this financial year.
Mm-hmm. And we see that because the dispensary category revenue lagged growth in the front of shop revenue. At the same time, with the single exit price, I'm just trying to wrap my head around this, because that 1.26% increase was also largely in line with the selling price inflation of 1.2% that was also reported. And consumers already say that medicine charges are too high.
Sure. So, I mean, in terms of the role we play in reducing healthy cost to the consumer, that plays out in our dispensing fees. So together with medical insurers, I mean, we continue to provide services at reduced costs. That is our participation in kind of reducing the healthcare cost to individuals. The reference you made earlier is to our price inflation across the group is just as a result of competitive pricing in the other front shop categories. So especially in the personal care and baby space, where we see the food retailers being very competitive on price. And obviously our strategy, being an everyday low price strategy, means that we need to match to ensure that we maintain volumes. So as a group, correctly so, I mean, the SEP price increase of 1.26 was complemented by a similar price increase in the front shop products, which was really driven by competitive pricing.
Okay. And if we move on to that wholesale division now, there was an operating loss that we mentioned. What was that attributable to?
So the wholesaling division is really a function of leverage. I mean, we've invested in enormous amounts of space over the last 24 months. So compared to the prior period, I mean, we've added another 13,500 square meters of space. We now have an infrastructure that is represented geographically across the country. And previously, we were servicing our network, which is a national network, from a single facility in Midrand. So as we made the investments in the KZN and the Cape Town facility, obviously that comes with a with fixed costs, and that wholesale business is leverageable. So it really supports our growth of stores as we add out, as we increase the number of stores, and doing that, you know, because a lot of the wholesale supply is internal. So our wholesale supplies, our retail stores, you will see the leverage and the profitability impact on our wholesale business. So, I mean, in short, the wholesale business has capacity, and that capacity will be taken up by retail stores that will add to our retail business.
But despite your efforts on the wholesale front, there are some things that are out of your control. And one of these things is potential labor unrest, which does pose a threat to that business. So just talk us through these labor relations. Who's threatening to go on strike? Is this unique to Dis-Chem? And how is it going to impact the business?
Sure. So I think it's a concentrated union that has a representation in our grand facility, which is our biggest facility. We had given them organizational rights as a certain level of representation of the workforce. They're not at those levels yet, and they've asked to negotiate on wage. You know, the request on wages is commercially, we can't afford it. And and that's considering a process that we've gone over the last 3 or 4 years where we've invested in our low earners. So relative to the government gazetted minimum wage, we are a lot higher than the government gazetted minimum wage, and the request is just commercially unviable from them. So we are in talks with them, but that risk exists until we deal with this issue. Potentially concentrated to the distribution business.
And the wage request, that's, I'm assuming, above inflation increase?
Yeah, it's way above inflation increase. I mean, our last payroll cycle investment in our lower earners was already way above an inflationary increase, which is the reason why we're above the gazetted minimum wage. But their request was exorbitant. I mean, it's way above inflation or way above the gazetted minimum wage.
So how do you see this playing out, and to what extent is it going to affect the product delivery to stores and to consumers?
So in terms of playing out, I mean, we're obviously close to the union, we're close to the process, so we will ensure that the retail part of the business has sufficient stock to provide retail sales to the consumer, so to not adversely affect the consumer from a retail perspective. I mean, if there is a strike, it obviously affects the supply of wholesale into retail, but retail is sufficiently stocked to deal with that. And we will adapt to that as and when developments in this process happen.
And sufficiently stocked, especially in terms of medication and chronic medication?
Correct, yes. That would be our focus area, considering it's the most important part of our business.
Okay, that's good to hear, Rui. Another positive sign coming through is that Dis-Chem does see consumer confidence improving. Can you tell us more about that and just how positive you are about it?
So, I mean, we've seen it in our September numbers. So post our reporting period in the 6 weeks, or in the 6 weeks that we reported up until the end of October, we've seen a slight improvement after an incredibly tough July month and difficult first 2 weeks in August. Potentially indications that consumer sentiment is improving, but I think generally the consumer, as I said earlier, I mean, the consumer is constrained, they're value conscious. So it's a slight improvement, but we don't expect it to materially influence our numbers going forward and for the remainder of the financial year.
Roy, that's where we'll leave things. Thank you so much for joining us. That's Roy Maresh, who's Chief Financial Officer at Dis-Chem.